2022 regular meeting of Orrville City Council. We will begin this evening with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were here. Okay.
Yeah. That's all right. Sometimes we need more than one.
Yes. Please go ahead.
I'm gonna open up with just reading one scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And we come this evening, Father, asking you, Lord, to move upon the hearts of these men that are leading this city of Orrville. Unless we be selfish, Father, we ask you, Father, not only these leaders of this town, Father, but in every town of this great country, Father, our state government and our federal government, Father, we need you, Lord, to move upon the hearts of men, that they would hear you, Father, and allow you to lead and guide them in the decision and the laws that are made, Father. So the laws are made, Father, not just for those that may have wealth, Father, but for all of us, from the least to the greatest. We ask you, Father, to move upon our hearts and just to help us, Father, help these men and women to make the laws and decisions, Father, that will help all men of this town, of this country, Father. We ask you, Lord, that they will humble themselves and seek your guidance and your wisdom, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that all that we do, Father, you will get the glory out of it, and that this time will be blessed, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Handwerk.
Here.
Asparis.
Here.
Shanklin.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Carr.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Wilson.
Mr. Wilson is excused this evening.
Thank you.
You should have received a copy of the minutes from the July 18th, 2022 meeting and the special meeting on July 25th of 2022. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes? Mr. Morrison.
I'd like to move we approve those minutes.
Morrison moves.
Second.
Mr. Shanklin seconds.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you very much. We have no public comment for this evening, and so we'll move on in our agenda to our standing committee reports, and we begin with our Parks and Recreation Committee. Mr. Handwerk, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Council President. Parks and Rec has not met, therefore I have no report. However, since we're wrapping up summer, I thought it'd be a good time to talk about our upcoming fall festival. So I'll pass these around to kind of share with the team. The fall festival this year will be October 22nd, and it will be held at Heller Hall. We will not be doing a car show this year. We've done that in the past, but had decent results, but we didn't really advertise it enough. We didn't have a chance to get that out there. So we're going to go ahead and stick with Heller Hall, and there will be food and games and a trail, the Northwest Trail for kids to walk through. And we have support from local groups like the Boys and Girls Club, the Orrville Theater Group, the Library, the Lions Club, and a few others as well. So want to invite everybody out to that. It will be 5 to 8. I have been advised that we're going to be able to use Wilbert's telescoping giant light truck, so that will light up the entire park if need be. But it should be a good time, so I want to invite everybody out. Thank you.
Very good. That Northwest Trail, that's the new trail. I don't know if it's new, but
newer trail, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Immel and the department have done a nice job of actually putting down asphalt chips to make that very walkable now. So it's much improved year over year.
Well, good. That'll be an opportunity for people to explore that trail that they may not have had a chance to yet. And it's good to see broad-based community support there too. So thank you very much. So Saturday the 22nd, Fall Fest. All right, thank you very much. We'll move on then to our Utilities Committee. Mr. Shanklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Utilities Committee has not met, therefore I have no report.
All right, thank you, sir. Ordinance and Personnel. Mr. Larson, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has no pending issues before it, therefore we have not met.
All right, thank you.
No report.
Our Transportation Committee, Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation Committee has not met. I just have three quick updates. One of them on Lake Street, State Service Director Steve, as well as Engineer Dan, they did stop the progress that was going on over there due to, they found out that there was a bad case on that street. Dan was not comfortable with moving forward with it. He figured that we would have only gotten about 2 years out of it. So he did stop that project temporarily in order to do some base repair on that street. Everything is repaired and they should be getting back to that street within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Obviously, weather pending. This time of season, it's hard to give definite deadlines. I would like to say it's definitely done in a month. So that would be safe. Cemetery, that is scheduled by Bosco. That also should be somewhere between 2 to 3 week mark, as well as the paving at the bottom of the park that's going to be done by Most Paving. That's also slotted to be done before this season is over. And with that, it would wrap up all of our street projects, and it was definitely a successful project season in the streets department. So with that, I have nothing else, Mr. President.
Our Health and Safety Committee, Mr. Spiros, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Safety has not met, and I have no report for tonight.
All right, thank you. And our Planning Committee, Ms. Carr.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Planning Committee has not met, therefore I have no report.
All right, thank you. We have no special committee reports for this evening, so we can move on in our agenda to our administrative reports. We begin with Mayor Hamburg.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to just also echo Mosley's comments. We've had lots of projects this summer. Many of them are finished, which some of you may heard about before we were done in July. Since then, there's been others that have continued or are finished, and we still have a few to go yet. So we still need some nice weather here in the next couple months to get things wrapped up. I'd also like to mention our Employee of the Month for September. That is Brandon Buckwalder, and he's an Account Clerk 3 in the Utility Billing Office. He began his employment in May of 2022, so he hasn't been here that long with us. Brandon has a wonderful sense of humor and has quickly become a valuable asset back in the billing office. He has a bachelor's degree in accounting from University of Akron, and outside of work, he enjoys spending time with his family, and he lives in Rittman with his wife Brittany and daughters Lauren and Macy. And that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll move on then to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple quick notes before I hand it off to our special guests for this evening. Trash pickup is delayed one day this week due to the Labor Day holiday. Barbecus, which is all our paving contractor for this year, will also be out doing the crosswalk on Crown Hill, as was discussed in the Transportation Committee. And finally, Dominion is out and about throughout town looking for and repairing leaks as they find them. So if anyone sees Dominion out and about, that's what they're doing. And they literally are traversing the whole city trying to find any kind of leaks that may be out there. That concludes my report. We do have Nicolina Naletti here. She's the Director of Teen and Community Engagement from the Oroville Area Boys and Girls Club. She's been with them for a couple months, and she does have a PowerPoint presentation for everyone tonight. If you may need to move out into the audience area in order to see the presentation. But if you'll give her a few minutes to set up, then we'll proceed.
All right, very good. We'll take a minute here to set up the room, and we'll continue on.
I stopped reading, but
yeah. Your interpreter is so used to.
I think it's the same.
So we're going south.
Little break here.
You want to turn it all the way around? Just watch yourself that you don't kick this over here, okay? I'm going to turn you a little bit towards the camera, okay?
That might be too light, it's right on top of the screen.
Yeah, maybe just put the side light on, see if you can leave the center one off.
Whoa.
Is that good?
Should be.
Oh, maybe not.
I'm getting there.
There you go.
There it is.
Good evening, everyone. I am Nicolina Naledi. Little background information about myself. Born and raised in Worcester, graduated from Worcester High School, and then went to the University of Mount Union and got my degree in psychology. Graduated in 2013. Prior to this job, I've had about 10 years of experience working directly with kids in the Wayne County area, both for county and private organizations. And I've been with the Boys and Girls Club since mid-June, and so far it's been an absolute blast. So I just wanted to come and share a little bit about what's been going on with the program since I've started, some highlights, some goals, and just share a little information. So our mission statement is to support, enable, and develop youth and teens to reach their full potential. When I started at the program, obviously we were coming off of a 2-year stint of COVID, and we had a lot of discussions about what are the goals moving forward with the summer program, moving forward with the teen club program, and we were able to come up with 4 big goals that we wanted to focus on. The first is awareness, programming, engagement, and retention. So when I first started, I do have connections now in the Oroville area after having been here 3 years. I was not aware of the Boys and Girls Club program, and in talking with parents in the community, caregivers, local teens, it seemed like there was not the amount of awareness that we could have among our youth and our families about what the teen program is and what it has to offer. So in order to raise awareness, we have been working on increasing our presence at local events. We worked the Ribbon Music Festival. There was a car show held at Serpentini that we helped sponsor and were present at. And we've been working towards a lot more advertising, including sending out letters. We're hoping to have a community open house sometime this fall to get people in the door and share that information with them. We're also doing a little bit of a social media push, which is a little bit new for me because I'm terrible about taking pictures. So I've had to remind myself to take pictures of those moments, but the kids are really good at taking pictures and reminding me, so that's great. The next goal was to increase focus on our programming. Sometimes it's hard to get teenagers to do things that they don't necessarily want to do. So how do you get these teens to engage in programs and make it fun and engaging and get them to participate? We were really lucky when I walked in this June, we had several programs up and running, and the youth really seemed to enjoy those. A couple of those highlights include Tyro, which is a character development program. They would come once a week, be there for about an hour, and do activities with the kids to build peer relationships, to promote good morals, to build good character, like I said. The kids really seemed to enjoy that one. They had an end of program celebration where they came in and did activities with the kids for the day, including snacks, which is always very popular. We had the Money Matters program, which is teaching the kids financial decision-making skills, financial management, money saving, and budgeting. At the end of that program, we ran a real-life simulation where they had to stop at all of the different stations and manage a budget based on the amount of money that they made from their job and based on their education. And it was really neat to see the youth go around to the station that, you know, you paid for your cable bill and your cell phone bill and all the bells and whistles, and not so fun for some of them when things like childcare and utilities came along. But it was really eye-opening, and they all seemed to really enjoy the experience. We also had a survivor program, which was actually started by one of our staff at the club named Andrew Vogelsong. Weekly, he did a survivor-based activity, and it was the kids were loving it. He would even hide idols around the building, and it was to work on collaboration, team building skills, problem solving skills, good sportsmanship when you got voted off the island. So it was very exciting to watch. And then finally, we started a Seven Dimensions of Wellness, which took place over the course of 7 weeks, where each week we did an activity and a lesson based on an area of wellness to promote, you know, the youth's well-being and understanding of their own personal wellness. And then looking forward to fall, we have several really exciting programs coming up. We do a daily power hour, which is our homework hour, where the youth come, first thing we do is eat a snack, do our homework. Our staff provides tutoring support. We do group activities based on different educational areas with the kids, and we provide resources to make sure that these kids have a safe space to focus on their homework and put that time and effort into their education. We are working on triple play, which is about physical activity and getting the kids active and engaged. That will include a weekly sports-related activity, which is pretty popular among kids. A lot of times they just want to shoot hoops, so we're trying to get more creative and broaden their horizons. But it is also a part of our next programming block, which is Healthy Habits, which is emphasizing nutrition, physical well-being and activity, and promoting overall well-being. And then finally, we have started again what is called Torch Club. Torch Club is a club within a club. Essentially, the youth create this club, they vote for president, vice president, all those different responsibilities on the club, and then we kind of pass the torch and allow them to work together to implement different projects, to make change within the club that they would like to see happen in the teen program, and focus on service to the community and others in the club. So the next area we wanted to focus on was engagement. We want to get the youth who are in the club engaged in the club. We want to get parents and caregivers engaged with the teen program and what we have going on. And then hopefully we want that engagement by word of mouth and advertising to get more kids interested in attendance at the club and participating in the programming we've got going on. So several of the ways that we have begun trying to promote engagement in the club is we did a parent and teen open house. I believe that was early July that we did that, and just offered the time for people who have their youth in the club and their teens to come in, see what we're doing, what we're taking care of, you know, these children before and after school. What's going on there? I want you to be able to come in and know what your child is doing with us. See what your teens are engaged in. Give input if there's things that you would like to see you think they would benefit from. So we did have a pretty good turnout with that. It was really nice to be able to have time outside of club hours to meet these parents and caregivers and talk with the teens. I've started doing a quarterly parent newsletter, talking about the things that we are doing in the club, programming, activities, highlight, you know, the strengths and wins of the kids we have in the club and the exciting things that we hope to do moving forward. We worked on gathering feedback from the teens. You're here. I know what I like is fun, but that doesn't mean that you're going to like it. So what do you want to do? What do you want to learn about? What do you want to do to contribute to your community? What can we do to make things better? We've gotten a lot of good ideas. We're hoping that when we get Torch Club started, they can kind of take the reins there and start implementing some of those ideas that their peers have given to us as staff member. One of the big things that the kids have really seemed to like is team-focused opportunities. When I started in June, the club does a great job of putting together field trips for the youth throughout the summer. With that being said, we're talking kindergarten through our teen club, and it's a little bit hard when you've got kindergartners that need to be wrangled when you've got teenagers who are trying to enjoy the same experience. So I wanted to give them time to be teens, to be among their peers, to have new experiences with that age group. So we did teen trips throughout the summer, which I'll highlight in a couple of the next slides. And then starting through the school year, obviously we don't have as much time to go on field trips. We don't have the days like we used to. So we are going to start implementing after-hours events. So once a month, the club will be holding an after-hours event for teens only based on what would you like to do. I'm pretty excited. September's activity is going to be a facility-wide Nerf war and pizza party. So it seems like the youth are excited, but we want to give them the space to be teens and do these special activities that are focused just for them. And then finally, when it comes to engagement, we are in the discussion of putting together more incentive programs. One that we have just started up and running is our Youth of the Month. We have different criteria that our teen center staff alone nominates and then votes on to Youth of the Month every month. This month's Youth of the Month were Jose and Bree. And the reason they were nominated and then selected is because they are great team players. They are the kind of kids who get in there and get the rest of the group engaged. You don't have to ask them twice, and most of the time, they're right next to you, helping to set things up or get things running. So with that, each youth who is nominated and awarded that title gets a $30 gift card, a Blizzard of their choice, and bragging rights for the month, which I think is very important. Humble bragging rights, but bragging rights. So our summer program teen trips. Like I said, in order to give the teens their own opportunities to experience enriching, exciting opportunities without having the little kids in tow all the time, we were able to schedule a weekly trip from July through the end of the summer. We had a grand finale end of summer celebration out at Cassie's campground, and feedback was very positive. There are a couple of them the kids are already asking to do again. So those trips included, we did an escape room in downtown Canton. That was great. We did boys versus girls. I hate to admit the boys did win. I think theirs was easier though. We went kayaking down the Mohican River, which was a really fun experience. We got about 5 minutes down the river before I realized we needed to pause and have a lesson on how to kayak, paddle 101. But the kids had a great time, and I imagine there might have been a couple thankful parents because I know half of them slept on the ride home. They were so exhausted. We went to a ropes course and kind of like a ninja play zone thing in Cleveland called Play Cleveland. We had our end of the summer celebration at Caskey's where we roasted hot dogs, we played in the lake, we did a slip and slide obstacle course, tie-dyed shirts, fished. It was a whole blast. We didn't have as much turnout for these two. We were going to do lunch dates and go to different restaurants around town. Because of the weather and the heat, walking to those locations was not the most desirable. And so we had a couple kids go, but not quite the turnout we were hoping for. I don't blame them. It was really hot. We went to a movies trip to see Thor. And then finally, we went to an airsoft range, and they have really great aim. Here are some of the highlights. We have the airsoft range. The center was our celebration at Caskey's. There's the one and only picture I got of kayaking because we quickly drifted into three separate groups. The ones who never stopped paddling, the ones who stopped to chat a lot, and like me and one other kid in the back who were exhausted. We have Play Cleveland, and then there's our escape room. So the last point that we want to focus on is retention. We had about 30 to 40 youth per day coming to the teen program. Obviously, with school, that number has dropped because of after-school activities and youth who were coming to the club who weren't necessarily Orville-based. But we have found that a lot of the youth who were a part of the summer program are still continuing to come to the club, and that's what we like to see. I want to see youth having a good experience, telling their friends, wanting to be a part of that program, because that's what it's about, giving them a safe, fun place to be that feels like their own with a sense of community. So when we talk about retention, some of our ideas include, incentivization, there we go. Like the Youth of the Month program, we've talked about providing a dollar amount or a reward for youth who are consistently attending and engaging in program, things like that. We are kind of looking towards the youth to tell us what's going to be your incentive. Like I said, I'm an adult woman. An incentive for me might be different than an incentive for a teen boy. So we are working on talking with the kids and putting things together to add that extra incentive for them to participate. We have teen-specific focused programming. So the programming we're doing with our younger kids, our teenagers aren't going to want to do that. We want to meet them where they are. So we're considering work-study programming, job readiness programming, programming that focuses on, you know, if you want to go to college, what does that look like? We want to provide them with the life skills that they're going to benefit from. Another thing we're working on is direct participation in the teen program goal planning. We want to know what these kids want. This club is about you. It's not about me. I can come here. I will be here. I want you to want to be here. So what does that look like? And then finally, we want to promote capability, independence, and self-confidence for the kids, because I think if they're getting those things from our program, they're going to want to return. They're getting something out of it aside from a tangible, I got a $30 gift card for being Youth of the Month. I think that personal growth and development is what's going to be bringing them back. And then finally, I wanted to give a special thank you to Caskey's Campground, Escape Room Downtown, MK Airsoft, and my teen center staff for all of their contributions and efforts, because that really made our teen program a success during the summer, and we wouldn't have been able to do that without them. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That would be phenomenal. The club number, which I have to look up.
Okay.
I haven't been there long enough to memorize it yet.
Right.
There we go.
683-4888.
Years of experience calling
out. All right. Yeah, I'll be in touch.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
thank
I think
you.
We could help.
Mr. President, I don't know if there's any questions for Nicolina, but if not, then that concludes my report for this evening. And great job by Nicolina as well.
Much appreciated. All right, then we'll move on in our agenda to our utilities director, Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just had a couple of informational items. I did hand council members out a couple of handouts, but the first item, I just want to give everybody a heads up, and I'll be talking about this more towards the end of this month and as we go into October, and this regarding the city's natural gas aggregation program. There's not too many places that you can't walk into today and you find the prices are higher than they were the last time you remember. And natural gas is one of those that are also on that list. We're coming out of a two-year fixed contract. Currently, the price we pay per MCF is $3.05. Needless to say, that price is going up next year. The prices are so so dramatic. The I did send you the monthly rate that Dominion charges if you're on their variable account. We couldn't even secure a fixed rate deal at the end of our term. What we were able to do is to go with a variable rate for the first 5 months of the program, and then we will be able to fix that rate going forward for the balance of the year and the year following. During that fixed period, the rate will be $6.61, so that's more than a doubling of what we're currently paying right now. So I'll be sharing some more information with everybody. Certainly as we get closer, there may be some better offers out there. But as of today, there is nothing that's even close to this. Most of the rates are in the $8 to $10 an MCF range. It's just the world that we happen to be living in right now. There's just a lot of volatility in the market. A lot of gas suppliers are sending their gas overseas and selling it into Europe as a result of the gas curtailments as a result of the Ukraine war. So American suppliers are getting a better bang for their gas molecules, selling them abroad than they are at home. And we are expecting that that to influence the gas market for the next several months, especially going into the winter season. So you'll hear me talk a little bit more about this as time goes on. We get to a point of time in our contract year that we have to pick a lane. That's what the contract will look like going forward. But again, customers have choices. So as we get closer, you'll be able to compare other options through the Public Utilities Commission's website. That's their apples-to-apples comparison. So as we get a little bit closer, we'll share some more information, some updates. But I just wanted to give our customers the heads up that it's not only the city's aggregation program, but any program that's out there, whether you choose to stay on it or you go and pick your own supplier, you are going to be paying at least a minimum of twice what you were paying for your utility bills. So pack on the sweaters and the blankets and plan on turning your thermostats back a little bit more. But I'll have more on that as we go on. Currently, our prices are fixed through the end of October. The new plan will start November 1st. As been the case with our program in the past, if customers choose to do nothing, they stay enrolled. And they can get out of the program at any time. So if better offers happen later on in the spring or the summer, they can jump out of the program and utilize some savings if they're there. Take advantage of those. They can come back into the program and they can get back out again. So we'll talk more about that, but I just want to give folks a heads up from a budgeting perspective. The other item I just wanted to share was I passed out a map of the city that has some red lines drawn on some streets. We are doing some testing of our sanitary stormwater system. You heard me mention before that we did a study to help us identify areas that have been prone to restrictions, sometimes resulting in sewer backups when we have very high rainfall events. These areas that are in the red are places throughout town that we will be doing additional testing to see if we can find out where those sources of water infiltration are. It's not an increase in customer usage. We're getting additional water in our sewer lines, whether that's possibility of broken lines. There could be a parking lot that may be draining into our lines. There could be old roofs and driveway drains that are tied into the sanitary storm line. So as part of that effort, we will be doing what we call smoke testing the week of September, let me get my nose right here. We'll be doing that the week of September 19th. And what this involves is we are contracting with a firm that will drop smoke generating canisters in our lines, and we will be watching where that smoke comes out of the ground. It may be coming out of storm grates, it may be coming out of where your roof drains tie into the side of your house. Could be coming out of a parking lot drain, or could be coming out of the ground somewhere. This is a colored gas that is not harmful to breathe. It's not harmful to pets. You can stay in your home. It's nothing to be alarmed about. But we will be sending out emails. We will be utilizing the broadcast tonight. We'll be advertising in Orm News with the maps. We'll be hanging door hangers on there. There's information that's contained on utilities website that talk about this a little bit more in detail. There's actually a video on there that you can actually see what this looks like. So if you get some of the smoke coming up, for example, in your downspout drains next to your house there, it'll be colored. Please don't call 911. You can certainly call us to make sure that it is for real. But we'll be talking about this over the next couple of weeks. We'll have three more weeks before we plan on starting this. But this will help us hopefully pinpoint down some of these areas that need even further attention. It may require some excavation. It may require some camper work. But we do have some places on these areas that are outlined in the red that are high sources of water in leakage. This was done as a result of about 3 months of testing that we did over a series of rainfall events. So we are cammering our storm water systems, and we were actually measuring the differential in water flow during a non-rain event versus a rain event. And there are certainly places out there that can sometimes produce twice as much water coming into our wastewater treatment plant than it was designed for. And that's not a place that that our permit really allows us to operate in. So again, we'll be talking about more of this at the next city council meeting, but there is some information that will be going out to all of our customers and also be in Orm News too. So more about this, check out our website, give our office a call. Give our wastewater treatment plant folks a call here over the next 3 weeks. Bear with us as we go through this, and hopefully this will identify places that we can easily fix that will mitigate those times when we have those high rain events that burden our systems more than they were originally designed for. So I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding that or the natural gas program, and if not, that would conclude my comments tonight. Mr. Rosenblatt, thank you.
Any questions, comments? Very good. Thank you, Mr. Burke. We'll move on to our finance director, Ms. Strimlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. The 2021 audit is complete. We will be posting the actor to the city website. If you have any questions or would like to review any of the documents in more detail, feel free to give me a call or stop by. We've also submitted the actor to the GFOA for evaluation for the Excellence in Financial Reporting Award. We should hear back from them by the end of the year. I also wanted to give an update on the American Rescue Plan. We have received our second installment of approximately $441,000. We do have some water and wastewater projects that will be beneficial to the city from a utility rate perspective that we're planning on using those monies for. If you recall, that was a big focus of the ARPA guidelines, were to use on water and wastewater infrastructure improvements. Also wanted to give you an update on income tax collections and refunds. We do continue to see a large volume of income tax refund requests for 2021 due to employees working from home. We are in the process of closing the month of August, so next week we will update council on the revenue and also the refund totals. And finally, I did provide the July fund balance report for tonight. I just need a motion from council to approve those reports subject to audit.
I'll motion.
Okay, Mosley moves.
Second.
Morrison seconds.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Thank you very much. On then to our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Very good. My only note for council is you probably saw the announcement where the Chamber of Commerce has announced a new president, Dan Franks, fellow of Smithville Smithy. And so we just wanted to welcome him. It's an important role in our community, and council administration works closely with the Chamber of Commerce, so we just wanted to welcome him. Make sure you were aware of that change in leadership there upon the retirement of the previous director. All right, then we'll have no old business this evening, so we'll move
Mr.
on to
President?
New business. Oh, yes, I'm sorry, you had something about zoning.
Thank you.
Yes.
We have a request for a rezoning of a lot on Crown Hill from a C1 commercial to an R4 residential that we will need to refer to Planning Commission before we proceed with anything else.
All right, very good. And the process there, the Planning Commission will make a recommendation to council, and council can take that up, discuss it in committee if you like, and approve or not, I guess, that recommendation.
And then we'll have a public hearing mm-hmm. if we tend to go forward with it.
All right, very good. There has been public hearings about a property across the street from this property, and so council may be interested in this and seeing what the discussion is and what the issues are there. So, all right, very good. Now we can move on to new business. Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 3522, I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Handwerk.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Resolution 3522, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to procure quotes from various companies and then enter into an agreement and or agreements without bidding to remove asbestos and demolish the two-story structure located at 142 Depot Street, Oroville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
All right. Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. As Council's aware, this is a project that's been ongoing for multiple months. We had procured revolving loan funds from the county about a year ago. They approached us a few months after that and notified us that federal funds would be available specifically for demolition projects, asked that we wait for those funds so that the RLF dollars will be available for others to utilize. And unfortunately, as you go through federal grant process, it's taken the federal government longer than they expected to kind of develop the program, as this was a new program as part of ARPA funds to make dollars available for communities for specifically for demolition. We have received the okay from the Wayne County Land Bank to move forward with the project. So now I've come before you requesting permission to go out for quotes so that we can get a bidder on the asbestos removal as well as a bidder on the demolition. Our goal is to get it down as quickly as possible. As you're aware, we're kind of at the mercy of the contractors in regards to their timing, but the sooner the better from our perspective, obviously, as this project's kind of dragged on longer than we had hoped. Can I answer any questions? Our expectation at this point is that the federal funds will cover the entire cost of both the demolition and the asbestos removal. Obviously, I can't guarantee that until I see the quotes in front of us, but based on some initial figures, that would hold true, assuming those prices haven't went up like the natural gas prices. So.
Mm-hmm. Questions, comments?
So are you asking us not to not have the three readings?
I would request not to have the three readings if at all possible, so that we can move forward and try to get on a contractor schedule, so we can move forward both with the asbestos removal and the demolition.
Can I motion to do that?
Normally John does. There's like some specific wording there. Yeah. I just wanted to make a comment. I know I've said this before, but I was on the Historical Society board at the time of this decision-making process, as was...
Still are.
And so Patty and I know all of the work and discussion and soul-searching that took place as the Historical Society was trying to decide what the future of, that we're talking about, what's commonly known as the Manhattan Building. I know a lot of residents have a lot of memories of eating there back in the day. But as the years have gone by, more and more problems have developed with that building, and it eventually became such that the Historical Society felt like it was not the highest use of that building to continue it in its current occupancy, and offered the building for sale at a very, very reasonable amount. There was one buyer that did come forward. In fact, council dealt with a tax incentive to help that process move forward. That buyer backed out. We held a public meeting at the Manhattan Building and answered all the questions and let everybody come and talk about any ideas that they had. The Historical Society ran through all of those options that were available to them, and so we're kind of at the end of the road. And it's not good to let that building just sit there empty, not being used for anything. And so it's best to convert that to some other, that property to some other use in the future. And so that's the decision that is before council here. So I just wanted to kind of give a little bit of an update and reminder. And Patty, I don't know if you have anything that you'd like to add to that or not, but you know, you were there and part of those discussions as well. So
it also the Historical Society, when the owners of the Manhattan had given it to the Historical Society, it already was in disrepair. And as you know, the quotes to repair it was like $800,000, and the revenue from it didn't even cover the utilities. So, and then when we did have a few people interested, that's when we found out that the land didn't really belong to the Manhattan. Most of it belonged to the city. So in December of last year, 2021, the Historical Society then deeded it back to the city. So that's why the city owns it. And then we started in the design review board. We had to meet again because the monies expired. And so then we met again to reiterate that we wanted this to go forward. And so this is like our second hit with the county. And so it needs to be right. It needs to be done.
Yeah, that was another kind of like the final blow there was when it was discovered that the building actually sat on the property lines, ran through the building.
Yes.
And so the cost to address that was significant and more than what the Historical Society felt like it could ask its donors to pay, given the return on that. It was, I think,
on the parking lot. Yeah.
Yeah, it was over $5,000, I think, just to take care of the paperwork issue there. So
it's been a long, long road. And that's just another hat. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
As a person on the outside looking in, I know what you guys went through in reaching this point. And honestly, I can say that you left no stone unturned. And I think the best characterization of what has to happen is let's move on, refocus, redouble our efforts, use the funds that would have been used to buoy up a building that wasn't going to last forever anyway, to save that which is worth saving. and I think the Historical Society is on a good track to do that. So with that in mind, and knowing too, you know, as Mr. Wheeler said, we've spent an awful lot of time on this too. It's time to fish with that bait. I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second. Second, Mr. Mosley.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Handberg.
Yes.
The Spirit.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
I move resolution 3522 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Handberg.
Mosley.
Yes.
Handberg.
Yes.
The Spirit.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Resolution 3622. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Handberg.
Handberg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Resolution 3622. A resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county auditor.
Yes, Ms. Gremlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is an annual resolution. After council approves the budget in July, it is forwarded to the county auditor for review by the Budget Commission. If the commission approves the budget, they forward this legislation that's before you this evening. Basically authorizes the county to collect property tax for the city. It does need to be returned by September 30th, so if you want to have a go two readings, it can, but we can't let it extend to three readings.
Okay. Questions, comments?
I see no reason in prolonging this. I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of the resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Second, Ms. Carr.
The Spirit.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Handberg.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
I move resolution 3622 be adopted as read.
Second. Second, Mr. Handberg.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Handberg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Resolution 3722. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Shanklin.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Handberg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Resolution 3722. A resolution to make appropriations for current expenses and other expenditures of the City of Oroville, State of Ohio during the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2022, and declaring an emergency.
Ms. Gremlin.
Thank you. This is a change to the 2021 final appropriations. The only item updated since Council approved this in March is to provide for an allocation of expenditures from the American Rescue Fund, given that we've received that grant funding.
You say 2021?
I'm sorry, 2022. Still auditing.
Any questions or comments?
Director, is there any reason to delay and take this to three readings? It's not.
Okay. No, we've had discussions. We talked during final appropriations, our meetings about this, so.
Okay. I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Handberg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
I move resolution 3722 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Handler.
Mosley.
Yes.
Handler.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
That concludes our new business for this evening, and so we'll move on to any comments for the good of the order.
I have one.
Yes.
Going back to the Manhattan building, not to delay this anymore with comments, but I want to just reiterate, the city is not chomping at the bit to take this building down. We talked about several different nails in the coffin tonight. I think the biggest one really was when the insurance companies said they will not pay, they will not let people in the building anymore for the Historical Society. So if you have no insurance coverage, you can't very well do anything. I mean, that would be a fun building to even have a haunted house, but you can't do that if you have no insurance. So that really is what, you know, kind of killed it.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. They refused to insure. And they also won't insure an empty building.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
Yeah, once we took out the contents.
Very good.
Thank
Anyone
you,
else? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. Morrison moves.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hedberg.
Hedberg.
Yes.
Ms. Pierce.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Thank you very much. Our next meeting will be September 19th, 2022. Until then, we are adjourned. Have a good evening. Ooh.
Thank you.